accession number 23187, real 7.
I was all...
Mr. Ashcombe, real 7. So, anything else about your time with the Headquarters 85 Wing in Hamburg?
Yeah, I was always friendly with the... Well, we were in the same billet, you know. Once I came out of the officer's mess, I had to go into an ordinary billet with the dental clerk. And he used to... he could get some 98% spirit, which used to liven up our beer quite well.
What about your drinking habits? Were you drinking a lot?
Well, I'm not, I never have been a great tippler, you know. So, it never worried me whether I had it or not.
But it sounds like when you did have it, you'd have a fair amount.
No, I wouldn't particularly say so. Not me personally. Some of the guys did. But I tended to like to buy various articles that I can have and value instead of having it all going down the drain, shall we say.
So what happened next? Anything else at Hamburg?
Yes. I got Christmas leave, didn't I? And so that was the first time I'd been home since my... Christmas, my first Christmas, when I was in London. And we went over, I remember the outward journey quite well. It was a lovely day. We embarked in the evening and had a kip. And then the next day we went up on deck, and it was quite social little affair, you know. And I went home, had some... very good times locally, you know, met some nice people. And then when I went back, it was just back to the... So it was very routine, you see. We had all the enjoyment and jollities at Bookieberg, but this was purely routine.
Were you getting bored?
Oh, yes, because there was only one thing firmly fixed in our mind. Let's go home. You don't need us anymore. We're not doing anything. And everybody was getting disbanded, and they were using a lot of civilian labour anyway. So what was there but to go home and get re-established in civilian life?
So and, when were you demobilised then, if that's the next thing?
Well, more or less, because I came back in sometime early January 47, and I just carried on with my guardroom duties. Nothing was happening out there, you know, because we were all only interested in going home. And then I was sent to Cuxhaven, I think it was. We'd unloaded a lot of kit, of course, you know, back in the stores. Got rid of my revolver, got rid of my leather jerkin, because I'd already secreted one home. And so, you know, we went over to the Hook of Holland, I think it was, which meant we had quite a journey over to Blackpool, which was where we were finally demobbed from. And
when did you come back to Britain? January?
Well, that was March the 1st. I came back to Britain. I came back in January to back to the unit. Yep. And very shortly after that, as the saying goes, as the gang show I was with was numbers up, my number was up. And
so what happened with the demobilisation? What do you remember of it? It was at Blackpool.
It was at Blackpool, so I finally saw the tower, and we had to walk along there. And then they, we were left with one battle dress and one hat, because we were still in the middle of the duration of the present emergency, which we called DPE. But I got a civilian greatcoat, which was more like, it was single-breasted, and it was more like, shall we say, an army blanket, which the cavalry used to wear. But having said that, it was warmer than my RAF greatcoat. Well, often a less fitted thing can be warmer than a fitted thing. And we came down what must have been the coldest night of that winter. So, you know, I had a cold night in early on in France, and I was going out on another cold night.
What were you going to do when you got out? I mean, you know, what did you plan to do?
Musician? Oh, yes.
A professional musician?
Yes.
So how did you get yourself into that?
Well, it's a case of I'd done one or two semi-pro gigs, and one finds that one all talks together at that certain place up in the West End at the back of the Windmill Theatre, known as Archer Street. And so that's where I made my first ploy. And I fixed up a summer season at Southsea, which when I walked down onto the front at Southsea, that was the pier I'd embarked from. Even my pilot officer command, he hadn't been in it long, he hadn't been an officer for long, he couldn't remember exactly where it was. It was only in the
Portsmouth area. So you got the first season playing what? Playing the piano?
No, I was playing drums by that time, because I realised in this cruel world what a piano player had to do. When you just got band parts and you're sort of chugging away, that's one thing, and a little bit of jazz, but Boogie Woogie was quite popular at that time, and I didn't have individual hand coordination. So of course I had about 3 months leave, demobilisation leave, picked up with all my old friends, and bought the drum kit, but that I didn't want to finish up being a drummer, so I bought the vibraphone, and that's what I concentrated when I came out, doing broadcasts and various things. We were gigging all over the country.
What do you just say what a vibraphone is? I'm not quite sure what it is.
Yeah, you could say it's like an electrified xylophone. You, with a xylophone, you've got a row of wooden notes, and in particular, the black notes, shall we say, overlap the white notes on a xylophone. But on a vibraphone, the whole thing's flat, because you've got a damper bar in between the so-called black notes and white notes. Well, of course, they were all only silver in those days.
And what attracted you to that? Was it because it's a combination of almost like the piano and the keyboards and the drums? Or?
Well, you had such American personalities as Lionel Hampton, Red Norvo. At that time, you've got a few more coming on, like Milt Jackson and Margie Hyams. And I thought, oh. So when it came to the winter, summer season's all over, and I got a thing up in Cambridge, where I believe, I don't know whether he was. Anyway, I went into the Rex Ballroom in Cambridge, and I started on drums, but I bought myself a vibraphone, and they used to feature me on vibraphone. And then, of course, I took lessons from the chief percussionist in the BBC Symphony Orchestra, and I became a percussionist. And one show I did in particular was You're a Good Man, Charlie Brown, which is based on the Peanuts strip cartoon in the Daily Mail.
So it wasn't just vibraphone, it was vibraphone and percussion.
Yeah. Oh, I was surrounded in that job. I had the xylophone in front of me. I was sat at kit drums. I had the vibraphone to the left, the glockenspiel to the right, and I had a tunable timpani behind me, and all the various toys, and a bell, school bell, because the old school features quite a lot in You're a Good Man, Charlie Brown, or Peanuts. And
so you hadn't been sure about your ability on drums, hadn't been sure about your ability on piano, but as a sort of vibraphone and percussion, you were professional standard.
Oh yeah, well I worked at it, and it was something different, and we were in demand, and as you know, success breeds success. So the more that happened.
So you're working all year through on it.
Oh yeah.
Not just so you did that. Yeah, that was all you did. You didn't have a sort of fallback career.
Didn't have a day job. As time went on and the dance band business started going down, I started doing one or two things, and in particular, when I went into the 40s and the dance band business was still going, it had peaks and troughs, but the peaks were nowhere as high as the troughs were deep. And a friend of mine kept saying to me, "Come in the post office or BT, you know." I said, "No, I like my summer suit." He said, "You can get all the time off you like." Well, of course, because the vibraphone thing had gone, I was concentrating on piano by that time. And so I was playing for a certain chubby little comedian that did the Bold advert for many years called Joe Baker. And I'd find things like, he said, "Oh, I'm doing one at Heathrow, can you get there?" So I said, yeah, he knew I might be late. But in the event, I was quite well for time. The piano was right by a door. The guy gave him a big long intro, and as he put him on, I played his intro music, you know. And I thought, well, that would be a very good idea with the music business, as it always has been, and it's a lot worse now. And I thought, I'll get a lump sum and a bit of a pension, which will help me to carry on playing, as I still am.
So you work for this comedian, is it, sort of piano, and at the post office?
Yeah.
And as a post office, as a deliverer, or on the office?
I was in British Telecom.
BT?
Not. It was all known as the post office in those days. But it wasn't known as British Telecom in those days. It
so
was
you were
all the post office. I was in the clerical side, accounts, customer accounts, and I got my promotion while I was there, which of course boosted the lump sum and boosted my final pay salary, which of course there's so much being said now about final salaries.
Okay, thank you very much.